We want young people who are well trained to go out and be servants of Christ. I ask you to please help those young people in your church decide wisely on a college. It's an extremely important decision that they make. Encourage them to do it prayerfully and to choose wisely. Remind them that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Thank you for your attention, for your prayers, and for the support that you have been giving. In closing, I'd like to recognize first the vice chairman of our board, if he is here, and just introduce him to you, the Reverend Bob Offers from Newark, Delaware. Mr. Offers here. Thank you, Bob. And then I'd like to call upon the chairman of our board, Dr. Richard Tuning, for a final word to you. Dr. Tuning from Richmond, Virginia.
Fathers and brethren, it was my real pleasure 4 years ago to appear on this floor and to almost plead with you that you join with us in the governance of Covenant College. And you all went through some considerable debate, and you did that. And you have blessed us with the leadership that you have sent us over the years. I will not call a name, but you sent us a ruling elder 3 years ago who's quite an auctioneer, and he's taken a bunch of land that had been given to us and converted it into about $750,000 or more from land into cash. Our endowment in that period of time during this single man's tenure with us has gone from a little better than $100,000 to almost $1.75 million through this man's efforts and other things that he has done. You've been very kind to us. You know, only in the body of Christ would one come and give you $8 million, and that's exactly the net worth that the RPCES has given you in Covenant College. Not a man on the board has ever raised any question about such an issue, or whether or not they would give up their rule, or whether or not you'd ever re-elect them again. Never raised. Changed their procedures, threw themselves into your laps, and we've in essence given ourselves to you. And I hope that says something to you. We're indeed glad to be a part of you and to entrust the future of this college to you. And we're glad to be here.
Mr. Moderator, I offer the following recommendations with considerable enthusiasm because the college, through its teachers who have worked with us in our Sunday school and in special undertakings in our local congregation, and through the students who have continuously helped us with our youth work, and through just their service in the community as babysitters and yard men and things like that, the college has really helped our congregation and our community. And I realize I'm just seeing what these young people are doing during these formative years, and I'm not really taking into consideration what the great majority of them are doing now that they're out in the field. That can only be imagined. But I really do feel strongly about these recommendations. That all of the congregations of the PCA be encouraged to pray for and support the college financially, and that our high school students be encouraged to consider Covenant as they seek God's direction in their preparation to serve our Lord in obedient service.
We don't want just enthusiasm here, we want action, isn't that right?
I move that.
You heard the recommendation. Any objection, question? If not, those in favor of the recommendation, and we take it seriously too as we go back to our work, those in favor of the recommendation, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. Thank you. Nay.
That the General Assembly designates Sunday, October 10. That's a misprint in your sheet. That the General Assembly designates Sunday, October 10, 1982, as Covenant College Sunday throughout the denomination, and encourage churches to remember the college with prayer and an offering on that day. I move that.
This has been moved. I'm sure it's been considered with other such days that have been presented. But this seems to be an appropriate day. It's been studied, I'm sure. Any questions or objections? Number four. Mike, number four.
I had a question which you just addressed, and if the various committees of commissioners have discussed it among themselves, I have nothing further to say. I was concerned, however, that we have approved five or six special days and offerings in the last 3 months of the year, including one about 3 weeks prior to the one for Covenant College for WPM, both which would need all the prayers and resources of the churches. So my question, I guess, is addressed to the Committee of Commissioners or to the administration. Is October 10, in fact, a satisfactory date for that offering, or would it be better at some time when it did not conflict with other such dates?
I presume that's been gone into. Mr. Long, do you have anything that you want to say on that?
Mr. Moderator, this was taken into consideration and discussed by the college people after the assembly began, so it is the date that we would like to suggest. My comment is that you don't drive Presbyterians, so you lead them, and you lead them by persuasion. So just saying that we are going to pray on these days for these things doesn't necessarily make it happen, and I think that the congregations will decide what they're going to emphasize the most and when they're going to do it, and this would come across as our recommendation to the assembly, and I hope as the recommendation of the assembly to the churches. I know you can't make us do it.
You've heard the recommendation, and again, we should get behind it. And I'll ask you to vote. Those in favor of the recommendation. Number nine has a question.
Mr. Moderator, I can enthusiastically adopt this and stand behind this. I would just make just point out something. I had mentioned this to a couple of people, and they felt like perhaps this might be a problem. And we previously have approved special offerings with the third Sunday in September being a special offering for the mission offering with World Presbyterian Mission. And then October the 31st is to be a special offering for CE. And of course, serving on the Christian Education Committee, I know how bad we need a good offering on that Sunday. And so I would just ask the question, and I mentioned to several other people, and they thought that perhaps this to try to have three offerings within a period of about 5 weeks might defeat the purpose of a special offering. And so I would just mention that as a consideration. As I said, I'm excited about this, but I just question perhaps that's the wrong time to have three special offerings within a period of about 5 weeks.
Care to respond to that at all, Mr. Long? You know, these days, no question. Nothing else we can do.
I gave my response. I think the local churches are going to look at the suggestions of the General Assembly and decide which ones they want to emphasize and how, and or whether to do all of them. So it's not as though we're binding people against their will.
Okay, it's just a question of the date, presumably. Is there any further debate or question? If not, you're ready to vote. Those in favor of this recommendation number four, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. Yes. Passed. Next. Number
five. Let the General Assembly hear and act favorably on the following recommendation from the trustees of Covenant College. I'm going to quote now. This is something that the College Board prepared that our Committee of Commissioners looked over, and we'd like for you to hear the flavor of this and act favorably upon it. Quote, we commit ourselves to your philosophy that men should not serve on more than one General Assembly level committee. In the interim following joining and receiving, we would recommend that all presently serving on more than one board or committee be able to serve out their elected terms. This is a recommendation from the College Board of Trustees that we are picking up and making it a recommendation to the General Assembly. I move its adoption.
You've heard the recommendation. It requires action. There's no constitutional reason why it should not be. This would seem to be no problem here. Ready to vote. No objection? Number nine has it. Yes. Just tuning.
Mr. Moderator, I would just simply like to explain that the board finds itself with approximately six members who, because of the joining and receiving, find a conflict in your rules. This problem will only last over a matter of some 2 years for most, and occasionally three, and it will work itself out. That's the spirit in which it said, we honor that which you do, and we will live within it, and we're asking simply for an exception at this time.
Thank you. An exception seems to be possible, so it's perfectly all right to vote. Ready to vote. Those in favor of this recommendation, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. It is adopted.
Mr. Moderator, I began this report by calling attention to the fact that when God wants to do something remarkable, he creates a difficult situation. And I can hardly believe my eyes at this late hour in the afternoon. The attendance at this court has noticeably increased since the beginning of this report, and the noise from the refreshment counter has noticeably diminished. So I think that the Spirit of God is working, and we who make this report are very grateful for this, and we move the adoption of the report as a whole.
Been moved that the report be adopted as a whole. Any question? Debate? Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? So ordered.
We're within
a minute of time to close. May we see Mr. Aiken, Dr. Aiken? No Korean representatives? No. Yes, I see. Did someone say that the Korean representatives have left? Just we hope for today. Any other business that we could properly do in 1 minute? I don't know that there would be. If not, shall we rise and be dismissed with prayer? I'll call on, I believe, Reverend Frank File is not in the audience. Is he there still? I believe Frank File is not present. I'll call on his son, Bruce. Reverend Bruce File, if you will lead in prayer, please, in closing.
Our gracious Father in heaven, how deeply grateful we are to you for what you have accomplished in these days. We recognize that you, as the one who lords over the church, is the one who has granted your will. And we pray that we might be submissive to that will as we go to our respective places of work and labor, that we be faithful as stewards of that trust which has been committed to us. We're deeply grateful, Lord, for the bonds of fellowship that you have brought into existence over these days. We pray that as informed about one another's ministries, that we might be deeply in prayer and intercessory and be intercessory involved in those ministries of one another. And now dismiss us to that which is before us. Bless the fellowship around the dinner table. We pray that you will bring us back again to accomplish more of the work that you've entrusted into our hands. To that end, we will give you glory because we pray it in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
We will stand adjourned. Shall we see if there are announcements that need to be taken? Stand adjourned. standing, and I'll ask Elder Rudolph Schmidt if he will lead us in prayer, please. Mr. Rudy Schmidt. Microphone 2.
Our gracious Father, we thank you for your presence with us. I thank you for the joy of fellowship we have enjoyed, for your direction in our consideration. Pray that you'll be with us in this evening hour, that we may remember that we belong to you and that we have responsibilities before you as your children. So guide us, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We turn to the business for the evening. Shall we have your attention? On the docket this evening is the report of the Assembly's Nominating Committee. An important report. It would probably take us much of the evening. The report of the Assembly's Nominating Committee, and I believe that parts of the report are being distributed. Let's have the distribution as rapidly and expeditiously as possible.
And Mr. Moderator, let me suggest if anyone knows of committees or commissions off the floor, that those committees or commissions be called back in so that everybody can participate in this.
Papers are being distributed, a suggestion is made that we make an announcement that might be of interest to a few of the people on the floor, namely that the PCUS in meeting today voted, so we are told, to join with the Northern Presbyterian Church, the UPUSA, by a vote of 336 to 30 was the vote to unite.
Lose them. think he can. Okay. The basic rule that I know of right now, take a majority vote, of course, on that, but that nobody that is off the floor can vote. In other words, they ought to be in here, they ought to be seated and stay in here. I'd be glad to.
Are the papers distributed? Are the nominations on the floor at this point?
No, the nominations on the floor are made on paper.
Oh, so there are no more new nominations. Okay, I don't know.
The nomination,
yes.
And then the other man, or me, yes, who have been nominated.
You mentioned that.
Yeah, I'll turn it over to you.
To me, and I'll take the vote. That's right. And it'll usually be 1-1. Always 1-1. Yeah, I mean, one person from you, one person from the floor.
Well, in two cases, we have two people.
In that case, I have to use ballot. Do you or the clerk have ballots prepared?
Have you given out, Frank?
Otherwise,
the judicial. Okay. We also need the page 623 and a page 671 of the Judicial Commission report that needs to go out at this time.
623. I believe so. I'm
because of
the
county problem.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'll announce that.
Nobody in the
I believe that the papers have been passed out sufficiently that we can begin with the report. There is one point that we want to bring to your attention, and that is the difficulty of counting and other things of those that are sitting in the bleachers. It is the judgment of those on the platform that those in the bleachers should move down to the numbers of seats that are available in the floor of the assembly. It would make it much easier for the pages, and we need to be as efficient as possible as we count the votes. While you're coming down, let me make this announcement. Billy Joseph and James Meeks. Billy Joseph and James Meeks, please meet Mrs. Reed in the upstairs lobby. Thank you. I would think maybe we could. I would think so.
It would help to settle things down. Could we spend 5 minutes to hear from 300 people?
Sure.
If you have to call 5 minutes, it would help settle things down. I would think so. I would think so.
Dr. Taylor asked for a point of special privilege in the docket. If there is no objection, if we could allot 5 minutes at this time to receive fraternal greetings from the Korean delegates who are now here on the floor just before we vote on the nomination. Dr. Taylor.
Mr. Moderator, as we prepare for the evening business session, it is my privilege to introduce to this General Assembly the moderator of the Korean American Presbyterian Church, Reverend Ik Kwan Lee and the stated clerk of the Korean American Presbyterian Church, Dr. Samuel Chang. They are present with us. Will you come to the microphone, brethren? We will hear your greetings at this time with pleasure.
Mr. President and the delegates of General Assembly, we thank you for this privilege to speak to you.
우리는 여러분들과 같이 그리스도 안에서 같은 신앙과 생활을 가지는 그런 교단이었습니다.
Our doctrinal statement is the same as you. We have Westminster Faith Confession and the Larger and Shorter Catechism.
뿐만 아니라 여러분들과 같이 내 밖에 한 회원이 되는 것을 이 시간 감사를 드립니다.
I also to say our deep appreciation to you to join to the member of NAPARC.
우리 교단은 나이로 하면 불과 네 살밖에 되지 않습니다.
Our church is only 4 years old.
4년 전에 여러분께 인사를 드릴 때 그때의 목사의 수가 55과 교회가 34이었습니다.
4 years ago, the same floor of this NAPARC, the floor of your assembly, we have only 55 ministers and 34 churches.
그러나 지금은 교회가 85, 그리고 목사가 101명이 되었습니다.
Now last 4 years, the Lord blessed us to increase our churches to almost double. We are 81 churches and 101 ministers right now.
노회는 일곱.
Thank you.
노회 수는 지금 일곱이나 금년 총회에 한 노회가 더 가입될 것 같습니다.
There are 7 presbyteries, including Canada, but we are expecting one more presbytery from southern area.
그리고 세례교회는 지금 5,329명이었습니다.
There are communicant members 5,329.
그리고 신학교 하나와 평신도 신학원이 둘이 있습니다.
We have a one seminary in Los Angeles and also 2 Bible institutes. One is in Toronto, Canada, and one is San Francisco for layman training.
금년에 신학교 졸업생이 7인데 앞으로 우리 교단에서는 남미에 있는 우리 교포들에게 전도 전략을 세워서 그들에게까지 전도하려고 지금 노력 중에 있습니다.
Last May, we had 7 graduates from Reformed Presbyterian Seminary in Los Angeles. And also, we are going to have some missionary work in South America, such as Argentina, Brazil, Chile. There are many Korean communities there.
이 일을 하기 위해서는 여러분들께서 우리 교단을 위해서 늘 기도해 주신 줄 압니다만은 앞으로도 계속해 기도해 주시면 감사하겠습니다.
We want to support us in your prayer so that we may establish the kingdom of God throughout the world upon the reformed faith.
저희들도 여러분과 여러분의 교회와 여러분의 교단을 위해서 끊임없이 기도 드릴 것을 약속드립니다. 감사합니다.
We also promise to remember you in our prayer. And we thank you very much.
감사합니다.
Brethren, it gives me great pleasure in the name of this assembly to say, Kamsahamnida.
Thank you. I met Dr. Harris around 20 years ago when I was in Tucson. And he's one of the excellent professor, and he gave us a great lecture 20 or almost 25 years ago. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Now we proceed with the report of the nominating committee. Elder Joe Gardner.
Shall we bow together in prayer? Our Father, we do rejoice this evening in gifts that you've given to the church, the greatest gift, even the Lord Jesus. We're thankful that he is an able head and guide and king for the church. And Father, we are thankful that he has given to us, though unworthy we be, that Christ, through the Spirit of God, has given to us gifts, gifts in which men are gifted in certain ways, in which they add, lead, and guide, and instruct the church. And Father, as we come this evening to this most important part of, at least one of the most important parts of this assembly's action, Father, we would rejoice in those faithful men that you've given to this denomination and to the RP denomination over these past years. Men, Father, that have served on committees quietly with a servant attitude. Men that have led our churches. Men, Father, that have had vision. Men that have had administrative skills. And Father, as we come tonight, we would pray that you would select, that you would bring out of our midst again men who can lead us, men who can guide us, men who have vision, men who can protect us from error. We pray for that, Father, as we deliberate on these matters. God, Father, every word, every action, that all will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Gentlemen, let me make sure that you have all the papers that you need. You need a yellow set of papers that begins with the number 927. You need a white set of papers that begin with the number 915. You also need two single sheets, numbered 623 and 671, and we'll get to those in just a moment. If you do not have all of those papers, please hold your hand.
They came down a little bit anyhow.
Should be over here. Again, you need single sheets numbered 623 and 671, along with a packet of yellow sheets numbered beginning at 927 and a set of white sheets beginning to be numbered at 915.
Gotta wait. Use your judgment. I think you might as well go ahead and get close to the microphone, Hall. Shall we have quiet and committee
the
go ahead?
Set of papers that begins numbering white papers at 915, please use this set of papers in place of the partial committee's report that was found in your that is found in your blue book that was mailed to you from the state clerk's office. Please disregard that. The set of papers that you have
that's been passed out, number 915, is the final report of your nomination or nominating committee. And that's the report that we will be using this evening. The Yellish set, and let me just briefly explain that, the Yellish set of papers, this is what we're calling a ballot, though you will not be marking this as a ballot as such, in the sense of marking it and turning anything in, but it's a ballot in the sense that in the slots where the nomination of the committee has been challenged, or at least there's been floor nominations made against our nomination, in the cases of that particular situation where we've made a nomination and then someone of you or one of you has made a nomination to that same slot, we have listed all of those on the yellow sheets and to the particular committee to which that nomination is being made. Not every committee has had a challenge or had an additional nomination made to it. So when we get to the voting, we'll be using the yellow sheets more so then. Now, if you would take your white sheets, 915, let me read the matters at the beginning. This is page 915, the first white sheet. Business referred to the committee. Election of one nominee to each committee, subcommittee, or board of trustees for positions indicated. Statement of issues discussed. A, the chairman received or reviewed the standing rules of the assembly that pertain to the nominating committee, an action of the 8th General Assembly, and the section of the Book of Church Order regarding the function of this committee. B, the nominees herein presented were elected by the process of nomination by a committee member, with each position being voted on separately. C, there was discussion of the fact that handwritten biographical forms do not conform to the requirements of the standing rules of the assembly. However, since obviously some presbyteries are not aware of the requirement, the committee considered all nominees from the presbyteries referred by the assembly's stated clerk. D, the need for representation of former RPCES men to the committees, particularly the four permanent committees, administration, Christian education, mission to the world, and mission to North America. The committee received advice from the Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business, and you'll hear this in just a minute, that changes in the Book of Church Order from the last General Assembly provide for one more position to the class of 1984 on each permanent committee, and thereupon the nomination committee proceeded to make nominations. E, the qualifications of a nominee which had been questioned. 3, recommendation that the General Assembly adopt a policy that all biographical forms be typewritten, that the biographical forms indicate the necessity for typing, and that the stated clerk be instructed not to circulate handwritten biographical forms. 4, nominations presented by the committee, Appendix A. The rest of this paper, 916 and following, is that appendix that will give to you the nominations of the committee. Not floor nominations, but just nominations of the committee. 5, additional nominations from the assembly. Assembly, that's what we have on the yellow sheet. And number 6, roll of committee members, and you can see that, and the signatures of the chairman and secretary. Mr. Chairman, I think it might be good for us to go ahead and handle the matter of the recommendation under Roman numeral number 3. Therefore, I move that the General Assembly adopt a policy that all biographical forms be typewritten, that the biographical forms indicate the necessity for typing, and that the stated clerk be instructed not to circulate handwritten biographical forms.
You've heard this recommendation. Is there a question or objection, discussion? I do not. One from Mike 4.
Mr. Moderator, let me point out the implication of this. If this rule had been followed this year, I dare say it would have cut out half of the nominations. Some of this material comes into our office in very, very poor form. Now, we will, if you instruct this, we will now put on the forms. Must be typewritten. Non-typed materials will not be passed on to the nominating committee. We'll put that on the form. But how you get ruling elders to do that about themselves sometimes and type those forms is one of those difficulties I'm not sure you'll always get done. But I think the nominating committee will attest to the fact that at least half of them were handwritten in a rather poor form.
On the other hand, of course, it is wonderful to know that the men do know how to write.
I don't know about that, Mr. Moderator. I was up at 12 o'clock midnight last night trying to decipher them.
Very seriously, this recommendation is before us, Do you want to speak to this recommendation, mic number four?
Yes, George Bringle, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. If I might offer a word of explanation as to why this is so important. Each presbytery elects nominees to each committee. As well, each presbytery elects a person to represent your presbytery on the General Assembly's nominating committee. It greatly compromises your representative on the nomination committee if he has to handle forms that you cannot read. So it is extremely important that your men of your presbytery be properly represented on the General Assembly's nominating committee, that you see to it that these forms be typed.
Thank you. I hear no other comments. Mike seven.
Bob Schuch, Mid-Atlantic, just a question. Does this include those nominations that are made from the floor of the General Assembly?
The city clerk says no, because there are many of us here have no access to a typewriter, no easy access to a typewriter, I suppose.
Another factor in this, if I may speak just a moment, another factor is that the city clerk, when he receives these forms, uses a Xerox machine to make copies to send to all the members of the committee. And the Xerox machine on many of the forms did not pick up the form well, and we found it just almost impossible to read, I'd say, at least a third of those handwritten forms. The Xerox machine just did not pick it up because the writing was either in pencil or in some form. And what we're trying to do is to be honest with everybody's form, and we found it to be very difficult to do so when many of them are handwritten.
The recommendation is before you, and I see no one asking for the floor, and there's no objection. It is number seven.
Hubert Stewart, Evangel Presbytery. I happen to be a stated clerk of a presbytery. Just to let others know how it can be done, I merely send a form to those who are nominated, have them send them back to me. I type them before I send them on to the stated clerk of the General Assembly. Therefore, if I've got trouble reading them, I'm close by that I can find out what they did say. Many of them won't say much about themselves. I make up some. Some things I know about them that they maybe don't want told. But this is the way ours always gets typed, because I do not send their form, but my form.
However it gets done, the point is it has to get done. Is that right? If there's no further discussion, it stands adopted. There's been no word against it. It stands adopted. Recommendation number three. I am urged by others on the platform to repeat the announcement that those on the bleachers are expected to come and take their place in the floor. There are seats here, and it does make it much more difficult. And I am told that you will not be counted if you're on the bleachers. That sounds harsh, but do cooperate, if you please.
At this point, before we begin the actual voting, there are a number of things that I need to bring to your attention for clarification. For the committee has gone through many things trying to make this report as simple as possible, but yet there are some complexities to it, and I'm going to ask you to be very attentive for the next few minutes, because I think it will save a lot of time. I think it will save questions that might be asked if you're not following what is being said. One thing is going to be said by the chairman of the Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business. It's very important that you listen and understand what's happening. Then I have an explanation of something that's also in conjunction with that, that's going to be very important for you to understand, so that we can put this whole scenario together, this whole picture together, before we come to the point of voting. Mr. Chairman or Mr. Moderator, I'd like to yield the floor at this time to Mr. John Thompson, Chairman of the Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business.
Mr. Thompson. Dr. Thompson.
I'm sorry, excuse me. At the rate we're presenting our report, we'll be here until Thanksgiving. You know, one or two recommendations a day, but bear with me.
if you turn to page 671,
that is a yellow sheet just handed out.
Right, 671. It has reference to a recommendation from the Permit Committee on 623, but don't bother turning to that unless you particularly want to, because the recommendation is practically identical. Let me read it. Recommendation 6, the Article 4, Section 1 of the bylaws, this refers to page 18 of your handbook, be amended by replacing sentence 2 with the following. Each committee shall be composed of an equal number of teaching and ruling elders divided into four classes with four-year terms elected on the following schedule. Three men elected on the odd years and four men on even years. The additional recommendation that committee commissioners has appended is, and that the General Assembly elect one additional man for the class of 1984 for each of the four permanent committees. We move adoption of recommendation number 6.
You've heard the motion that recommendation number 6 be adopted. Is there a question or discussion?
Let me interject a no explanation. This action has already been taken as reflected in the Book of Church Order. All we are doing is making the bylaws conform to the Book of Church Order. The additional provision is that in the class of 1984, that we regard this provision as being effective as of this General Assembly. If that's true, then that would leave the one vacancy on each of the permanent committees. And this gives the nominating committee the opportunity of this year then electing nominating a man for election to this vacancy. And so that would complete a four-man class for what is now a three-man class.
I hear no objection. If there is none, the recommendation stands approved.
That concludes our partial report.
Now then, gentlemen, if you'll follow along with my thinking at this point, and think with me as we think through this situation, you've just approved, in effect, the fact that we're going back to the year or to the class of 1984, and in two of the committees, and I don't have it right before me, but in two of the committees we'll be adding teaching elders, and two of the committees we'll be adding ruling elders. Okay, let me just share those with you. Like on page 916, let me just give you one example. Under Committee on Administration, under letter B, where it says to be elected, we have the class of 1986, two teaching elders, two ruling elders. And then we've brought in and listed the class of 1984, which is now picking up this additional member of the permanent committee that you just approved. So we have listed there class of 1984, and in the case of administration, it's one ruling elder. Now then, in the spirit of excitement and in the spirit of almost euphoria concerning the joining and receiving, your committee got all excited about the joining and receiving and began to perhaps forget some of the guidelines that we normally should go through or go by. And we said, well, with these four vacancies, one on administration, one on Christian education, one on mission, MUS, and one on MTW, what a great place for us to bring some of the RP brethren and slip them in and put them in those four positions, one on administration, class of 84, one on CE, class of 84, and so on. So we did that, and we're excited about it. We'd found a place that we could immediately begin to bring these brethren and put them on the permanent committees and get them involved and, again, make the joining and receiving we considered a good thing, and this would be a profitable thing then to add these men on the class of 1984. The only problem was we couldn't do that. So that's what we did. We listed four men, our ex former RP men, one to each of those committees. But then in the process of finalizing this report, we discovered that the standing rules of the assembly state that the committee is to take nominations from the presbyteries. And from the presbyteries, of course, would have been the nominations that were made back last winter. So in effect, I'm going to make a motion at this time that the assembly waive this particular rule that we use presbytery nominees and then leave it basically to you. If you vote it down, then we'll have to go back and redo this class of 1984. But I'd like to move you, sir, that we waive the rule that nominees have to come from the presbyteries in this case only in filling the four slots of the class of 1984 on the permanent committee.
This is waiving the rule in the bylaws.
Assembly operations and take two-thirds vote.
It's assembly operation and take two-thirds vote. That rule. You've heard the proposal. It was it seconded? Moved and seconded that in this case and for this year, we waive this particular rule, and you understand why. Is there discussion? Mike 11.
Ed Johnston from Mississippi Valley. Does this also, can I ask a question, and then I've got a motion, possibly. What about nominations from the floor? This doesn't cover that possibility either, does it?
What we did was to take men who were going to be nominated from the floor and put them into these slots that our committee was filling.
Okay, but the assembly did not have an opportunity really to make a nomination from the floor for these four positions. Is that?
Yes, I believe there were nominations from the floor at the beginning of the assembly.
Yeah, but nobody, we did not, this wasn't even involved. We didn't know that we could make a nomination from the floor at the beginning of the assembly for the class of 1984. In fact, we didn't even know we were going to have a class of 1984 until right now.
That you have a point there, yes, sir.
And my only point is, hey, he may want to add to his motion, or maybe somebody else does, so that we can cover that too.
Well, this motion would cover that, would it not, if we would pass this motion to waive the rule?
No, my point is, he's waiving the rules to allow for the vote not coming from presbytery. There has been no motion to waive the rules to eliminate the nominations from the floor.
Mr. Johnson is entirely correct with regard to this particular spot because the assembly wasn't aware that they were open, and yet it is true that all of the nominations that the nominating committee took were taken from slips that were passed in as nominations from the floor.
I'm not trying to make a nomination. I just wanted to get the record straight.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's right. Very good. we're ready to... the motion before us is to waive these rules. Mic number six, you're speaking to this motion.
Teaching elder from Scottsdale, Arizona, Jared DeYoung. I think the PR men have been trained well in doctrinal procedures. They know that our committees are not men that are just nominated, but presbyteries seriously consider and pray about the men they nominate. Now, these sheets have been handed in, and it is this year that some will be nominated. I can't see overriding the procedure of Presbyterian government just to say, I love you. They know we love them. And I think that the presbyteries have done their work. And the PR men who come in are seeing now whether we follow according to order as we have decided, or are we going to go according to feeling. So I speak against this change.
Is there another further discussion? We've had speech for and against. If there's no further discussion, can we come to a vote? Our time is important. Those, one more. Number nine, Mike nine.
The moderator, I'm Glenn McClung, Western Carolina's Presbytery.
I speak in favor of the motion, because if we went along with what the brother just said, there would be no room at all for nominations from the floor.
Further discussion? Time is wasting. Let's keep our discussions down as much as possible. Number six.
Midge Cooley from Ascension Presbytery. This assembly has the right to set aside assembly's rules in order to follow the suggested procedure. The difficulty we have is this is also the position of the Book of Church Order. The Book of Church Order, chapter 14-1-11, says this committee is to present all nominations for teaching or for which it is responsible to the next meeting of the assembly from a slate of men nominated by the presbytery. Now, it seems to me that the rule that needs to be set aside is the rule that we must nominate men from the floor over against a particular person who has been nominated by the nominating committee. That would allow, without violating the Book of Church Order, the nominating committee taking nominations from the floor and putting them in these secret slots. But as a matter of principle, we cannot, as a court, simply disregard our Book of Church Order. And so we must vote down this recommendation, as much as I regret to say that we should vote it down, because I very much would like to see these men nominated. But we must come at it from another angle. I think it can be done, but not this way. It's against the Book of Church Order.
May I ask a point of information? You speak of this 1984 as kind of a secret slot. Are there many such in it, or are we just dealing with this one secret slot? Just this one place.
One position of four committees.
With one position in four committees. With regard to the rest of the nominations, nominations from the floor have been handled. If there is a conflict with the Book of Church Order, it is true that motion would be out of order. That original motion that we had before us. Am I safe in doing that? You men know the Book of Church Order.
Mr. Moderator, I do not think it's Book of Church Order that we have, do we? Is it? It is, I beg your pardon, it is Book of Church Order dealing with the nominating committee.
The statement was made from the Book of Church Order, and we agree with that, and therefore that original motion was out of order, and the floor is open for another motion if somebody knows a way to get around the problem legally. Number eight.
Don Clements, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. I move that we consider these four names as having been nominated from the floor by the sufficient time limit.
And they were.
Is that an appropriate motion? Is that in order? As far as I know. Is that all right? Not out of order. I rule that motion in order. I hear nothing to the contrary. The force of that is to allow nominations now that we know that the secret slots are open. Isn't that correct? That has been proposed. And is there anyone to the contrary or wants to speak to that? The motion is before us, and shall we vote? Those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. I didn't make that very plain. Any contrary vote, say nay. Thank you. Beautiful. It is passed. So that gives you the freedom to proceed, does it not?
Yes.
Thank you.
And now, gentlemen, if you will take your sheets, let me just share with you a couple of things that you need to be aware of. Turn to page 919 on the white paper. And to page 931 on the in the yellow paper.
His name.
On page 919, notice under number C, the class of 1984, the nomination there for the class of 1984 is Robert Alford. Okay. Now, if you will notice on your yellow sheet, under teaching elders, the fourth line down, again you see the name Robert Alford.
This time spelled correctly with an A.
Right, it is A-R-T-H. If we pass a motion that I'm going to make in just a moment, it will not be necessary for Mr. Alford's name to continue to be on the yellow sheet. But I want to call your attention to the fact that he's listed both in the class of 1984 and as an alternate nominee against E. Lee Trinkle in the class of 1986. In effect, I'm going to make a motion in a few minutes that all of those uncontested positions be elected by acclamation. If we do that, then Mr. Alford would automatically, he's not contested, he would automatically be on in the class of 1984, and then we would simply delete him from the yellow sheet. So I wanted you to be aware of those two names, or his name listed twice. On page 933, the yellow sheet, and 922 on the white sheet, the white packet. On page 922, notice in the class of 1987, the nominations of the committee are Charles Cox, Grace Presbytery, and James Shipley, Central Georgia Presbytery. Now, if you look on page 933, under the class of 1987, it says John T. DeBartolaben, Philadelphia, nominated by the nominating committee. In other words, on the white sheet, it says Shipley is the nomination of the nominating committee. And on the yellow sheet, it says that DeBartolaben is the nomination of the nominating committee. The reason I listed it this way is this, that Mr. DeBartolaben asked his name to be removed as a possible nominee for the trustees for insurance and annuity fund. So your committee meeting this week selected Mr. James Shipley to replace him as our nomination. But in the meantime, we received a floor nomination in the name of Franklin Durness. I believe that's right. Franklin Durness.
Correct.
And that floor nomination was put particularly against John T. DeBartolaben. Now, Mr. Moderator, what I'm going to suggest, and I'll let you handle it, is that we simply mark out John T. DeBartolaben and put Mr. Durness as a floor nomination opposite the name of James Shipley. And I will simply ask you to handle that.
It is understood that John T. DeBartolaben has withdrawn his name. Is that correct?
That's right. And his slot has been filled by the nominating committee with James Shipley. Now, what I'm asking is this, your interpretation, it was ours, that even though Mr. Durness was put up against Mr. DeBartolaben, would it be of the same effect that Mr. Durness would now be put up against James Shipley? Well, since the committee replaced DeBartolaben with Shipley.
Well, it would not be exactly the same effect, because in the way it was, these two brethren against each other were both from the RPCES, the former RPCES. I don't say that this, what you suggest, shouldn't be done, but it would have that effect. That's all I say. You ask my opinion.
Do we proceed on then with Mr. Dernis in the slot against Mr. Shipley?
That would be perfectly proper, I would presume.
Okay.
And we should proceed to vote on that. Is that correct? Mr. Number 9, Mike Number 9.
Mr. Moderator, I'm John Thomas de Bartolaven III, and the John T. de Bartolaven that's on the sheet about whom we're speaking is my father, not me. Therefore, Dr. Dernis is from the old RPCES, and the John T. de Bartolaven that you're referring to is from the PCA.
I am sorry, I did not realize. So that means what I just said is incorrect, and...
Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying.
Well, I understand now that James Shipley would indeed be an appropriate replacement for John T. de Bartolaven.
Now then, my question is, does Mr. Dernis, since he was on the sheet, he was put in opposition to Mr. de Bartolaven. Does that now hold the same since we have replaced Mr. de Bartolaven with Mr. Shipley?
I would presume it would. Would it be helpful to ask the man who nominated him?
Or the...
Yes. It's the slot, so it doesn't matter about the particular name, apparently. It is your opinion that I should go ahead then with the election of these two?
Not at this point.
Not
I just want
point.
To clarify that those two names.
Very good. Proceed.
It might also interest the court that, and I think there were rumors about that there were going to be a whole host of nominations. It might interest the court that there were 26 floor nominations, and of those 26 floor nominations, seven of them were disqualified because they were not put against a particular slot. The sheet of paper was not signed, the nomination was not signed, or for some other reason. So of the 26, I heard a number as high as 300 running around. There were going to be 300 floor nominations. Well, we can put those rumors to rest. There were 26, and of those 26, only seven were disqualified, giving, I believe, then 19 that were actually considered. Mr. Moderator, I would move that the following people be elected by acclamation on these committees because there were no floor nominations made against them.
Mr. Moderator, time has lapsed at this time.
The question is the time would the time as apply. If it would apply, we could, of course, extend it by 30 minutes or an hour or whatnot. But it is...
You've got to extend to the end of this report, whatever.
Is there?
Move extend the time for... Until the end of this report.
You heard the motion. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, nay. I was going to say those...
Mr. Moderator, is it the desire of the court that I read all the names? I suspect that there are maybe 35 or 40 names that are not contested. I'll be glad to read them if it's the desire of the court.
These are the names on all of these white sheets.
Yes, except there are about, a dozen that have been contested. And those we're not including in the motion. These are names of men to the committees that have not been contested or there have not been floor nominations made against them.
We'll receive the motion that the names that are in the slots where there is no contest should be accepted by acclamation. Accepted on a white ballot, how do you say it? Number two?
Good question.
And Mike 11 first. Mr. Holliday, Mike 11.
I'm thoroughly confused, Mr. Moderator. We're going to vote now on those who are uncontested.
That's right.
Dr. Dernis was put up against Mr. de Bartolaven.
Yes.
Mr. de Bartolaven withdrew from the election. Why would not Dr. Dernis go in then as a white ballot or an uncontested candidate, the same as these others?
That's a good question. It was my understanding that there was a third name, but I may be
that's
wrong.
Correct. May I answer that,
yes.
Mr. Harris? Mr. Moderator, the committee had made
a nomination to replace Mr. DeBartolaben. Mr. Shipley, I believe, was that name.
My question is, what happens to the other man on 922, Charles Cox?
Yes, he's contested, but we're not dealing with that now at all. We'll be to that in a minute when we get to the contested nominee. I'm just suggesting that we elect all the men that were not contested by acclamation. Then we've got to go back to the yellow sheet and go by one on each slot where there were additional nominations made.
No.
Okay. I'm going to read the names then. If
number two, what is your comment?
Rodney Storrs, Great Lakes Presbytery. I think this is the right place to ask this. Coming from the RPCES, I have one concern that can be answered hopefully easily. It sounds as though some of the men that we are getting on there, being in the class of 1984, will be able to serve two-year terms. And according to the Book of Church Order, if they've served the two-year to four-year term, they're not eligible to serve again, except for a year later. And I'm wondering if it is better to wait a year for some of the RPCES men so they can serve four consecutive years rather than putting them on now to only serve two. Just a question, I'm not sure.
That's up to the nominating committee and up to us as we vote. Of course, one can say that there are other RP men that could be put on then, I suppose. We just have to keep that in mind is all I know.
Mr. Moderator.
Do you have any answer, Mr. DeLong? No.
Mr. Moderator,
May I say that if you do pursue your idea, that I might recommend to Mr. Holliday that he bring up his matters when we come to that slot on the yellow sheet.
It's been suggested by the parliamentarian that we read the names of all the people who are uncontested, and then you will have those names and can vote.
Number two. Mike, number two.
I'd like to ask this question. You're going to read a series of names. Why from the white pages? Why not from the yellow pages? We will have to duplicate it later. I would suggest we read it from the ballot form and simplify our time and thinking.
Could you explain?
Mr. Moderator, the names of men who are uncontested are not found on the yellow sheet. Only men who have had other nominations placed against them are found on the yellow sheet. But we still have to elect in some manner the men who were not contested. And I'm suggesting we simply do it with one vote to save time.
Further, Mr. Tiger?
Well, what use is then is the yellow ballot with all the names on?
Dr. Steigers, what we're talking about is that some of these names are uncontested, and by and large, they're put on the white sheet in those places where there is a contest for the convenience of the people that are voting. They are on the yellow sheet. This is simply a division. It's kind of like a white ballot versus a contested ballot. So it would be... it would be perhaps clearer if the uncontested names would be read, because our RPCES men are unfamiliar with some of these things.
I'm going to proceed to do that.
Man on the floor over there.
Yeah. Question needed. Number six. Mike six.
Charles McNutt, New River Presbytery. I rose to make the motion that in the interest of time, the names not be read, the white sheet of the uncontested nominees be declared elected, and we proceed with the voting on the yellow sheet.
That is moved that the uncontested names be elected, I think appropriately, shall we say, on a white ballot. And
Mr. Moderator, I made one mistake. Could we do that except on each committee but Ridgehaven? And I'll explain that when we get there.
Would you accept that qualification, sir? On each committee but Ridgehaven, and these would be elected by a white ballot, and then we would proceed to the contested elections. This has been a motion made, and is it seconded? Yes, it's been seconded. Debate on number seven.
Fred McFarland, New River Presbytery. I would like to speak against it. I think that it would be greatly appreciated by a number of the new RPs if you would just go through it a little bit slower so that we can begin to understand your process. We don't even know who these men are that we're electing. We couldn't identify their faces or anything, but at least we can get to know the names. It'll begin, I think, to help us get to know you. So I would plead with the assembly to take a little bit of time.
This is speech against. Number two, speech in favor?
No.
Anyone else with speech in favor? Yes, not. Another speech against then?
Well, I just have a question to ask for clarification. The sheets that we received tonight, the white sheets, or no, excuse me, not the white sheets. Well, let me just state it this way. We submitted a form today. Yes. I'm with the RPCES, was with the RPCES. And how were we to know who we could set our nomination against if we didn't know the personnel in mind? What vehicle did we have to research this?
I don't know, but some of the RPCES nominations were made with that knowledge, were made against the particular ones in particular slots. Some perhaps were not, but some were made that way, and I suppose there were ways to find out. The names in the white pages in the book were available, I believe, at the early part of the Synod.
Was that made public, though?
Mr. Moderator, when people would come in and bring one to me that I saw was not set against someone, I said, read that sheet, the biographical sketch on the bottom, choose a man that you're going to set your nominee against.
But I'm not sure that happened in every case.
You're right, it didn't happen in every case, and some of those ballots were discarded because of that. They did not get set against individuals, but it was there. In other words, the book was sent out a month ahead with all of that in it.
Doubtless mistakes were made, but we have to do the best we can, presumably. Thank you. Are we ready to vote? Number six.
Mr. Moderator, I imagine we're ready. I just wanted to call for the question. Mitchell Hall, North Georgia Presbytery.
Shall we proceed to vote? I believe we can without taking a question. Those in favor of the motion, please. There is a motion on the floor. There is a motion. Please. The motion to elect these men on a white ballot, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. I didn't repeat the whole question, but the question was the one that was before us to elect these that were on the white ballot
without reading the names.
Point of order, Mr. McMahon?
Point of order, William McCauley, Pacific Presbytery. The motion was whether or not we would read the names prior to voting.
Shall we ask the clerk to read the motion that was before us and we can vote again?
The motion was by Mr. McNutt that he never turned it in.
Can we have the motion? Have it read? In an effort to save time, of course, sometimes we waste time. You pass.
Mr. Moderator, I wonder if it would be helpful for me to have our former RPCES people turn to page, 917.
The new or the old one, Paul?
For Christian education, the new one, is that it?
Same, basic thing. Completed the nomination.
You have voted or something? Okay, all that I want to point out, if you will, you notice how it's presented. Present personnel, A, teaching elders, ruling elders by classes. That's what we presently have. To be elected, this is item B. And you have to be elected two teaching elders for the class of 86, two ruling elders for the class of 86. Class of 84, one teaching elder, alternates, one teaching elder, and one ruling elder. Now you notice the item C, nomination, and the class of 1986 is filled with on the basis of what you are to be electing, two teaching elders, two ruling elders. And in that white sheet, you have then the nominations of the nominating committee as presented to this General Assembly in the blue book, the handbook. What has been submitted here is in class of 1984, on the basis of this new ruling, is that one blank space of a teaching elder is filled with the name of George Smith. By the very nature of the case, he is uncontested. And that's what we're saying. It's a person who is uncontested who is being elected by the white ballot. And alternates, since there's one teaching elder and one ruling elder, you have next against the alternates, you have Kenneth Wax and then James Bibb. And you have the comparison then with those that may be contested for the, what page would that be on Christian education, the yellow pages?
928.
928.
The only contested one on Christian education is Joseph A. Papa, and he's contested with Roger Lambert.
So that will be voted on later on.
Separately.
All the other names are uncontested. And so on this motion, those are the names uncontested that are being elected by a white ballot. I hope that helps a little bit.
The motion, the clerk read what the motion was, and then I'll retake the vote.
Not to read the non-contested names on the white sheet and to declare them elected.
This is the motion. Those in favor of this motion, really we had proceeded with the vote, and I don't know that there should be, the question had been called. I do not think there should be any more debate on the matter. I'm simply repeating the taking the motion because there was some confusion. Debate, I believe, is ended. Those in favor of the motion, as was read, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. I therefore declare that the uncontested names, those on the white sheet, almost, I guess, exclusively, the uncontested names are declared elected on a white ballot.
Now then, Mr. Moderator, if we'll go to page 927, we will begin the process of voting for those nominations that were contested.
A question from number two, Mike two.
I think this is a point of order. I believe in that motion an exception was made for Ridge Haven.
That's correct.
As originally made, that is true. It was not stated on the written form that we received. Can we, by common consent, add Ridge Haven to that motion? I think there's no principle involved. It had been originally. By common consent, we will add that to the motion as it was written. Thank you.
Mr. Moderator, on page 927, in the class of 1986, on the Committee on Administration, we have one ruling elder that has been contested. The name Charles LeSueur from Ascension Presbytery was nominated by the nominating committee. The other nomination that has come in from the floor is Robert C., I believe it's Eberst, from Southern Florida Presbytery. He has been nominated against Mr. LeSueur.
We proceed to the election, correct?
Correct.
Maybe take just a moment for you to notice the biographical sketches at the bottom of the page, make up your mind, and then we will call for a vote on these two, and we call for a standing vote. We will call for a standing vote, which will save time and be expeditious, but make up your minds on the basis of your knowledge and these write-ups. Are we ready to vote? Between Charles LeSueur and Robert Eberst. Those in favor of Charles LeSueur, please rise and be counted. I don't know. Let's
count. We don't count. Have to have count as
look,
long as we can declare
look,
it.
Look, let's count this one anyhow. Let's not change our minds and let's don't change our minds in midstream. Our horse is on the wing.
Well,
Gardner. Mr. Gardner. Do you have any idea how many elections you have?
Did he say we can have them sit? Did he say we may sit down?
You may be seated.
He's not contested, so I don't guess we'll even talk about that.
Is he not?
So.
Now,
Providence?
Yeah. Those in favor of Mr. Abers? Those in favor of Mr. Abers, please rise and be counted. I think it is clear that the first name has it. Am I correct? I think we may interrupt the counting and say that the first name, Charles LeSueur, is declared elected.
I might suggest to the men, if you would keep your white sheet handy, and if there are any changes, you can mark it as we do these votes in the contested position. Now, Mr. Moderator, the committee nominates as teaching elder the class of 1986, Mr. James Pankos from Texas Presbytery. Also from the floor, we have the name of George Knight III from Midwest Presbytery. Move toward voting on these two men.
We'll vote on these two men. Again, take just a moment on the reading the biographical sketches at the bottom. Number seven, Mike Seven.
Just a question. On the white sheet, we have an additional name that doesn't appear on the yellow sheet. Am I wrong? You have Mr. Pankos. All right, he's uncontested. That's the principle. All right, thank you.
No, Mr. Pankos is contested. He's on the yellow sheet, and he's also on the white sheet. He's uncontested.
Are we ready to vote between Pankos and Knight? Now, if there seems to be a pretty decided majority, we won't bother with the counting, but we'll have to see as we go along. Those in favor of electing Mr. James T. Pankos, please rise. That's not a majority. Yeah. Thank you. Be seated. Those in favor of Mr. George Knight III, rise and be counted. Thank you. I would declare Dr. George Knight III as elected.
Now, this is a case where you need to go back to your white sheet, mark out Mr. Pankos, and write in the name in his place, or write in the place of Mr. Pankos, George Knight. Page 916. Now then, page 928, we move to the Committee on Christian Education and Publication. We have only one contested position, and we've already mentioned this earlier. The class of 1986, the committee nominated Joseph A. Papa, Jr. The floor nomination is Roger Lambert.
Again, take a moment to look at the biographical sketches. Are you ready to vote? Those in favor of Joseph A. Pipa, Jr., please... Pipa, Jr., please rise. I hope you can... I think they should be counted. What's that? I think they should be counted. Okay. Sit down, and we'll try the other. See what we can get. Those in favor of Dr. Lambert, Roger Lambert, please rise. I think that we had better count that one. It's a little bit close to take it. Please be seated, and we'll take the first again. Yes. We will get lots of exercise tonight. These are in favor of Joseph A. Pipa, Jr. Rise and be counted. I'm a genial fellow. I'm voting for everybody.
Be seated. Now, those in favor of Roger Lambert, Dr. Lambert, please rise and be counted.
I think they didn't understand. I don't understand yet. You may be seated. I don't understand yet the way you have it outlined on that white pages. Which are the ones that are to be elected and which are the not, you see. You have two names. Yeah, well, I don't have time to look at it, so I'll trust you, but I just don't understand it as yet. Mr. Pipe is declared elected. Do I give the numbers?
Mr. Pipe has been elected, so your sheet on page 917 remains the way it is.
Can you record the numbers?
Now we proceed to